welcome back to another episode of the No Filter Tattoo Podcast. It's as usual, guys.
We in here.
Finally, right? Second episode of 2025. Let's do the intros, like always. So, it's me, Tiz, Theo.
Bryson.
Tiz, Theo. Right.
And our wonderful guest.
Mindy Sue.
Okay, there we go.
Right now, we got the applause going crazy. But, again, so we got the great Mindy Sue, a.k.a. Mindy Sue versus the World on Instagram. So go ahead, give us a follow.
Yeah, you did change your name.
Right. I like it.
YouTube,
I like it.
Too.
I do. Shout
it out. Got a YouTube channel. What's the YouTube channel?
Well, I do Layla and Mindy, which is me and my girlfriend. And then I also just do Mindy Sue. I think it's Mindy Sue 26 still over there.
Bet.
Yeah. So
make sure subscribe. You check out.
Appreciate y'all.
So if y'all don't know Mindy, she is co-owner of One Love Tattoo in Douglasville, Georgia. Great shop. We had the other co-owner, Tino, on one of our earlier episodes. And you are actually Tino's... Like, I guess you call him first or second, one of his initial apprentices, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
that's when you insert the little part where we had Tino in there.
Right.
It's like memory bank.
Mm-hmm.
But let's how you doing? Like, what's going on with you?
I'm
like,
doing awesome today. Not much happening, honestly. But
I mean, you're alive. You're tattooing.
Yeah.
We definitely see your dog a lot.
My dog getting old, but I really.
How old is the dog?
She's pushing 13.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's your dog's name?
Miley. Her name is Miley.
Shout out to Miley.
Shout out to freaking Miley.
Nah, that's dope. But, okay. So, living life with the dog, lady, everything's good.
Yeah.
Tattooing. Mm-hmm. How many years you been tattooing now, right?
2025. In fall, I'll be doing 5 years.
5 years. All right. So,
4.5, I guess.
Nice. So, you went from... apprentice to now co-owner with your mentor in the span of 5 years. So like just give us like a brief like feeling. Like, what are you, like, overwhelmed? Are you like happy, excited?
Was it like a maelstrom of feelings?
Right.
I guess in the situations of what we had to go through was like quick thinking of, like, you know, I don't know if y'all knew, but we were in a private studio of how he taught us first. And then we just grew bigger and bigger. And eventually we had to get a shop. And with the shop, it takes a lot of work to run a shop.
And
to do it all by yourself, you really got to have that, like, momentum and dedication to really want to run this and run it how you want to. But and you got to pay attention to a lot of stuff. And for one person to run all that, I do think it's a lot. And at the time, like, we, you know, he just wanted to share responsibilities and help out, see who's a good business partner to try to build something with. And, yeah.
You fit that mold. So.
Now, when you say the private studio, are we talking about the clothing line?
Or
are we talking about?
So, basically, I met him in the one that's in the center of Douglasville, which is like the town city, which was...
Yeah, I remember.
Which is really small.
That was
small
Green Vibe
one.
Art, right?
Right, yeah. Green Vibe Art. And then eventually we moved from that one because we were growing bigger and bigger to like a bigger warehouse looking one. I say warehouse, but it was just like an extremely big building for no reason.
Yeah, it's big.
Yeah.
I remember the videos.
So. Yeah. But, you know, like, we fit a lot of stuff in there, and we had a lot of people in there,
dope.
Too,
yeah.
Because, you know, Tino teaches in groups sometimes. Now he pays attention to, like, 1 to 2 apprentices now.
Speaking of, so, yeah, let's...
Yeah, y'all can ask me how.
Yeah, like, how... Give us, like, a brief description of, like, your apprenticeship process and like you said how you did, like, it was a bit unorthodox, right?
Right. It's definitely different from a traditional one. So I understand why people are like, what? Like, how did you do this? And
Tino's a madman, but
he really is.
Y'all juggle. Like,
right. So basically, like, I really wanted to tattoo. I was willing to go to anybody. If you did horrible tattoos, I was going to go to you.
How old was you when you decided you wanted a tattoo?
So basically, like, I guess the start of it is me being in high school. And I'm originally from here in Georgia, but I went to high school in Louisiana. And I went to high school, like, way bottom south in Louisiana, where it's a very, very small town. It's just, like, white people and black people, basically.
You're,
and
like, the only
Asian, like,
person?
Yeah, I was, like, one out of two Asian people who graduated in my class.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then there's, like, a little handful of Hispanic people and a lot of, like, Native American people.
Okay.
But, yeah, when I was going to high school there, and I graduated as a junior because their education system is, like, a little bit behind. And gotcha. So I had like...
So you smart as shit.
No, it was just like, honestly, I just had, I guess, credits considered down there. It's like...
Gotcha.
Yeah. And so I graduated early. And so I graduated as a junior. So I only had 3 years of high school. And as a junior, when I was in like art class with my friends, we were all trying to figure out, what are you about to do like after school, you know? Mm-hmm. And I... one of them would be like a film, like want to be a film director, and I just want to be a tattoo artist. I just thought like I want to do art, but make some sort of money as well. But originally, like I think what most people think when you're working as a tattoo artist, you think you're just going to be in a shop and draw little things.
Yeah.
Right. But definitely, the apprenticeship that I took was very different. And when I moved back over here in Georgia, I just worked full time and I was looking for somebody to teach me, and I would just go get tatted by different shops. And I got tatted by Amanda, actually.
Oh, shout out Amanda.
When I first moved over here. Yeah. And I followed her on Instagram, and I remember she posted something about Tino like having an apprenticeship open. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I was willing to go to anybody, and I would tell people, call shops and be like, hey, you know, are you looking for an apprentice?
Right.
And yeah, I saw she posted that, and so I just reached out to Tino, and Tino sent like a little application, filled it out, and I was like super late for the application. I was just like hoping that he would take me. Yeah.
Almost didn't even happen.
Right. He like sent a message on Instagram. I didn't open it until like way later. And it basically, the first thing that it says is, fill this out by 10 p.m. today. And I'm looking at it at like 10:30, and I'm like, oh my God. But yeah, he sent this application. He just basically said, meet up here on this day. And we met up, and I see like 8 other people.
Damn.
I know. And I didn't know like that's how it was gonna go. But I just see like 8 other people, all different types of people. And basically he just gave us a task, which was to show up with like your own drawing of a Sacred Heart. And it was your interpretation of it, so you could do anything. So everyone has like a different style, and he just said like you gotta put like 10 hours in it or something like that.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure I just did mine the night before. Mine was definitely not the best. And so I remember
orders for him.
Yes. And I remember Pablo walking in. He's a big dude, already tatted, has the best drawing out of all of us. And I was like, dang, like, I'm competing against him.
That's
this
crazy.
This is crazy. Right. But eventually, that same day of when we first met him, he just explained his life and how he got here and why he's looking for these people. And I was like, cool. He seemed like a really cool dude, very humble. And, you know, yeah, good work. I didn't, but like I said, I didn't care if you were a scratcher and you were like, yeah, I'll teach you. I just wanted
to put in the door.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that same day he sent us home with tennis balls. And it was like a tube of tennis balls. It has like 3 of them. And he'd be like, all right, in 2 weeks, y'all gonna return. And if you can't juggle, don't even show up. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, he thinks we're clowns. This is crazy. And his purpose in it was that he read a book and basically was saying that if you're willing to, you know, like learn to juggle and dedicate this to do this, you know, he sees like the effort and everything in it. And so that day came up to where we had to come, and one guy didn't show up, you know, so I assumed
he gave up already.
Right, exactly. But you know, it weaves out all those people.
Right.
And so, man, we're in this small little room, and he making us stand in the middle and juggle. And imagine it's like 8 people around you, and you're just trying to juggle. Yeah, I was nervous. I was like, I don't even know these people.
How'd you do?
Horrible. He was like, and as he was like telling us instructions, he's like juggling, like talking to us. So he's like, yeah, so if you can't do this for like a minute or two, don't even show up. And so it's like,
oh wow.
Right. Like game. 1 minute is a pretty long time. And I showed up. Nobody could juggle for more than 10 seconds. We would just like do a couple rounds and drop it. But he was like, okay, well, at least like it weaved out that guy and so. But he still wanted us to juggle to see if we were like, you know, dedicated. So when he threw us some balls, he would be like, juggle. And yeah, after that, it was just getting assignments and trying to see where everybody was at on their like level of art. And he would give us like stippling drawings, do 3 of these stippling drawings, and then we would move to like something else, like painting, do 3 of these little paintings. Mm-hmm. Next you gotta do like the iPad. And he taught us, you know, I definitely feel like we're in the wave of rotary and iPad designs.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like very new to me too. And he taught us a lot on that.
Okay.
And then eventually like people were just getting like knocked off. Out of eight of them, there was only like four people left.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember that timeline too.
Right.
So how were you like, you kind of savage though? You were like, you had that dog in you? He was like, yeah.
So to me, I was really young. I met Tino when I was like 19 years old mm-hmm. and like just turned 19. And I really wanted to be a tattoo artist. I guess some people, they're like, maybe I want to be a tattoo artist. Right, like this and this. But I was like, I didn't know nothing either. Right. Like, you don't know anything about it until you really do it. And I just really wanted it. And so I was just like, I don't care. Like, I'm going to be this one apprentice. Because I thought he only wanted one. And eventually when it got down to four, and people would get knocked out from like, either they had to work, they didn't do these assignments on time, this, and this. They just
work related stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And, you know, some people had families too. So it's like a lot of stuff got to line up for you to be a tattoo artist.
Yes. Right. No, that's important right there.
Oh, like, yeah. And to me, like, I had nothing going on for me. Right. I was just working and I really wanted to get, like, you know, my foot in the door. And so, yeah, eventually it was just like Pablo, this other girl, and me. And then Tino was trying to get rid of one of us and he was like, it's either me or this other girl.
What?
Yeah. But, you know, I don't take it to heart or anything, yeah. But I was just like, oh, man, it's down to this round, you know, and it's me. And he picked the other girl and Pablo because, you know, they're already set up for it. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were working. I came after work. So I would work like all day and then come mm-hmm. after at like 6 o'clock.
Oh, where were you working? Like,
I mean, prior to doing tattoos, I worked in literally everything from restaurant jobs mm-hmm. and warehouses. Mm-hmm. But the last job I had was a warehouse.
Okay.
Damn, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you set up your warehouse hours so you could do your apprenticeship? Because I know they had different shifts.
No, so I was working prior to like going into the apprenticeship, but the last warehouse that I worked in was like a smaller one and they were very like lenient with okay. the time. As long as you did your 8 hours, some people would come in at like 3 a.m. till whatever.
I can see
and
that.
And have the rest of the day.
Lead a club and then.
Yeah. And so I would drive all the way from Gwinnett to Douglasville.
Which is about an hour.
Right. After mm-hmm. work at like 4 o'clock. So that's 5 o'clock traffic. And sometimes it would take me like 3 hours to get over there.
Okay.
Damn. Yeah. And then Tina would be like, oh, I just finished the tat. And then be like, you yeah. can stay for a little bit, but I'm going to leave. And I'm like, dang. Like, you know, but that was the dedication that had to go into it of like really wanting to do it. But yeah. And so he told me it was either this girl or me, and mm-hmm. it just depends on, you know, all this stuff. Because she was also working, too. So it was just like, and our, like, art skill was about the same, too. Mm. I just remember I was just like, I'm going to fight her when I get out of here. But, I'm never going to do something like that. But I was just like, man, I really want to do this, you know, and I can't believe it's coming down to this. And eventually she stopped showing up, and I guess, she got, eliminated.
Just life.
A lot of it's just kind of, like, mental, too. Like I said, like, you kind of
you
give up before it's, like, right there, you know?
Yeah. I don't think, she still does tattoos now, actually.
Okay.
She's, a apprentice or something for Amanda, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But I'm glad she, you know, she keeps doing that. But yeah, I think it just came down to like, he has these people and so can only stay.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it was me, this other girl, and Pablo. And then eventually, like, when we started tattooing, me and Pablo were on the stronger ends of like tattoos. So he ended up having to, you know, release another person. And you know, eventually he was like, I can keep both of y'all. Yeah, what were you saying?
And I said, you made him have to pick you, you know?
Right. I was just like, bro, like, I'm going to be your person.
I remember meeting you for the first time in 2019. Uh-huh. Were you an apprentice then, or were you in the lineup for it?
Yeah, I was an apprentice. I was an apprentice for like a year.
I met you at Villain Art.
Yeah. I was still an apprentice working for
Tino. Pretty much got
an
apprentice around the same
time. Yeah, started the same time.
Yeah.
During 2019, 2020?
Should we bring up the story?
What's the story?
Story when Tino
compared. Oh, nah, you an asshole, bro. Theo got so Tino yelled at me because right. of Theo. No, that's your story.
So, funny story. So this is
wait.
All right, while y'all was
you yelled at him?
No.
Tino yelled at me. So I was minding my.
Tino remember this when he listens, but
it was me, Jose.
Yeah. So this is back when Jose still worked here, but Tino had already had like Green Vibe Barber, I think.
Right.
So he was apprentice to you, and I was apprentice to Bryson, and Tino was just here for, I don't know what
he was chilling. Yeah, he was chilling. Yeah, he had a little, I think he had a son with him or something.
Yeah, yeah. And so it was late night. We was chopping it up. Mm-hmm. And then we just started talking about like apprenticeships or something. I don't know how it got to that, but.
I know how it got.
But anyways, so it got to a point where like, you know, me and Tino, like, we're both Aries, man. We're both like headstrong. So we both.
Zodiacs. Yeah, you know, not bringing the Zodiacs into it.
Zodiac into it, right? Uh-huh. So we both.
Tino and Theo are competitive.
Yeah, yeah. We're competitive, man.
It's a good thing to be competitive, right?
So it got to a point where we started like comparing apprentices. Mm-hmm. And so Tino was like, I bet you like Mindy out tattoo Bryson, right? And it was like, and then Bryson is here, by the way, too.
You know what's Mindy? I was tattooing a Millen. Minding my business. It's just like you said, I'm just happy to be here.
Right.
And it was like, but at that time, like I said, one thing I always didn't know is like, you were, like I said, you took the technical side really fast, like the tattooing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Tino was proud. You know, he's proud of that. And he should be. So, but he was bragging on you.
He got hurt by when Jose said it.
Yeah.
Because Jose was like, yeah, I feel like Bryson's more versatile. I'm over here just sitting back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. Because we were debating about, I think, coils and rotaries. Because I think at the time, he was only teaching rotaries.
Right.
And we were like, we're going to start on coils and then give him rotaries. Yeah. So he's like, nah, like, it's faster to just go straight to rotaries. So we were just having a debate on that.
Right.
But, yeah, it's a funny story how, like that happened. Okay, but yeah, you see, like, both of y'all, like, careers is booming. And thriving is cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to compare, you know, yourself and other people, or, you know, especially if you're teaching somebody and you see somebody else teaching a different way and you see how, you know, their art is and the skill level is. But
how do you deal with, like, as a tattoo artist, like, just not getting in your head about comparing yourself to other people's work and stuff like that?
I used to get onto it a lot because of, like, how my apprenticeship was. After everything, it was just me and Pablo and Tino. And I would see Tino's tattoos, and I would see Pablo's tattoo, and I was like, "How am I about to get like?"
But this is crazy because it's like I always felt like obviously like Tino's Tino,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, Pablo he took to it really fast too. But I always felt like you took to it really fast too.
Yeah, like, it's like when you're working with that, I guess, like as your competition of like if you're gonna make money, you know what I mean? And
you were just like, I refuse to be at the bottom of the
barrel. like it's a very hard.
Do you feel like some of that's just innate talent, or do you feel like you did something that to help you like pick up tattooing on the technical side faster than others?
I think it does come down to like talent and skill and dedication of like how bad you want it and how clean you want your tattoo to look and stuff like that. Like I've always been like, I need it to look smooth, and they always praise me about my smoothness because it's a really hard thing, I guess.
You won like your first award, like your second year, right?
Yeah, I think it was my second year.
Yeah, I remember that. And I didn't win my first award to like.
Exactly.
I don't even know, like 5 years.
But that's normal. Yeah. That's so normal. Yeah. I think with our route, it was so different, and I didn't know what was normal, you know? I was just like, got this little award.
So, like, if someone's watching now, and they're like, damn, I want to be like Mindy, like, how did she pick it up like that so fast? Like, what would be, like, the one thing you tell them to do, like?
I always tell them it's, like, you really got to have your pride in your work. This is about to be on somebody's skin forever, and, like, yes, you can run this tat real quick and be out of here today, you know? Or you can take your time on it. And, like, of course, everyone wants that tattoo done today. But when they see how good that piece is, they understand why it took so long versus they see other people's tattoos. And I tell them, like, it's pride of your work and, you know, take your time. Like, yes, I can try to finish something super quick and just, like, not really care about it. But because I care about it, I put, like, a lot, like, I pour my whole heart into it. And I feel like that's what people got to do rather than a lot of the days, like, people just do it for the money, you know?
Right.
And I don't do it for the money sometimes. Like, I guess I always knew this was my passion. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't know how, like, technical and crazy it could get.
Right.
But, yeah, I just say, like, so just you really care about your work, you know?
Oh, that's real. Do you feel like sometimes you're working past, like, or how do you say, you're underpricing yourself because you're working so long on a piece?
Yes. If you want to know the real of it, I do $150 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody is always like, what? That's crazy.
I mean, that's reasonable.
That's actually,
right. That's reasonable.
Georgia price.
Right. Yeah. But I guess they see the work.
I mean, that's a great point as you brought up. It's like the fact that we view 150 an hour as like, oh, that's not even work. You right. know, to, like, back then, at least back when I first started, like 100 an hour was like the average, yeah. like to start. And like, and if you were good, you got 150 an hour.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we kind of strayed away so much. Like, I'm like, oh, you need to be 200, 250 an hour, all this.
Because you see, you compare yourself and you see other people who are charging a fucking arm and leg for a tattoo, and they're doing it. So why can't I? You know, but right. it's like,
and there's so many different factors that go into it, like where they at, like exactly how yeah. long they've been doing right. it, like what they're doing,
then,
like
then the speed. How many people can well, do
right.
it?
Right.
Yeah. And it's the not quality. A lot.
But yeah, but go to finish your original point, though. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, what was the question again?
It was about,
you was charging hourly.
Yeah, yeah, you told us you charged more than an hour. Taking your time.
Oh, yeah, and so, like, there's times that, like, it'll take me so long to do a piece, and I stick with either 150 an hour, or sometimes I'm like, hey, this took a lot longer, and I'll just take off this, you know what I mean? Or there's pieces that I really like, I know it's going to take me a really long time, and I don't want to be rushed by that budget, you know, because
right.
I'll, as a person who's getting tattooed, you know, by hour eight, you're like, damn, how much is this going to be?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I don't want them to worry about that sometimes. I just want them to right. just sit there and let me do this. And
no, I definitely feel it. There's definitely times, like you said, like, even though, like, if whether you do hourly or, like, a price by the session, like, you know, like, hey, like, in your head, I really want to, like, kill this piece.
Right.
So, like, I might underprice myself just a little bit just so I can take my extra time and, right. like, do as much as I need to on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like I said, if you really got passion for tattooing, you're going to do that because you want to see, like, exactly. the best possible work, mm-hmm. or best possible outcome for sure.
Mm-hmm. And, like, get more tattoos rolling in like that so then right. you can charge that piece.
Yeah.
Right.
I think sometimes with the people, like, our apprentices today, they see me and they're like, oh yeah, like Mindy can do it, you know, at this hour. And I'm like, y'all don't even know, like, this is so expensive. And
right.
the tattooing is so expensive. Sometimes they think I got money because I got, like, supplies, and I'm like, yeah, like, I dropped all that money for this shit.
Right.
Gotta spend money to make money.
Yeah.
Right.
Nah, and these supplies are getting expensive now. So.
Oh, but that's funny that y'all was shooting bullets about the apprenticeship thing, but I get it, because people are really against how Tino was going to.
Yeah. It's,
especially group-wise, like doing group apprenticeship type shit. People were like, oh, are you a tattoo academy now? You know, I guess.
I kind of like my personal thing.
I feel like
I was just like...
You were a single apprentice?
Like, yeah.
Just you?
Mm-hmm. Well...
Well, how Theo does it.
Yeah. Like, the most I've done is two at a time,
mm-hmm.
but then I always ends up being just one person anyway.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, it start off as multiple people.
Yeah. Right.
They just don't make it.
Yeah. Because right. I always know, like, not every, like, you got, like, a 1 out of 4, like, success rate with apprentice.
Even when I was apprentice, I keep forgetting the other couple
yeah,
of apprentices.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a girl that was with you, and she kind of fell out.
I was like, she's still here?
Right. But,
right.
I mean, it's one of those, like, it depends on who's doing the group apprenticeship type thing. Like, Tino, it works for him because I know, like...
How he does it.
Yeah, how he does it, his character. Like, he's not trying to just, like, run a apprentice mill type thing. Like,
tattoos.
Yeah, he's, like, if you make it with Tino, you're going to be a good artist.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you can be. But, like, there's artists out there who, like, legit just run, like, tattoo apprentice schools and, like... Yeah. Send them out after 6 months and like don't teach them shit, you know?
Right. Shit, they got a more in depth look at it now because hell, you just mentioned it. It's like, nah, it ain't as easy as what it looks. It's like, you got to juggle.
Right.
All right. Don't come back the next day.
I remember he was reading that book while he was working here. I was like, what you reading? He was like, no, I'm teach people how to juggle.
He had y'all in those assignments and everything. Like, no, that's so, like, respect to you, know, man.
None of them tattoo schools are doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just had us, what? He even had Instagram voting, like, all right,
I know.
Airbnb.
Yeah. My thing is, Tino's like, I don't see how he just had the patience to manage all that continuously. So
I know.
It's a lot. Like, just the apprentice, one person takes a lot of you as a mentor. People don't realize because, like, if you're still tattooing, you're focused on your career, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So it's like, now I got to, like, try to bring up another person, too.
Right.
So then, if you multiply that by like 8, nah, that's crazy. So
yeah, I know. That's what I don't know how he does it.
Was y'all first machine an injector or what kind of machine?
Yeah, so basically, like, he had us, after doing iPad, learning the iPad a little bit, we did fake skins. Mm-hmm. And it was just like fake skins on Amazon, the thicker one, not those little flimsy ones.
Yeah.
And then COVID happened, and he was Tino's like main machine wasn't an injector as at the time, and he was like praising it and telling us to
he had been praising the injector
for years.
Injector, it's cool, but it's just too much though. Man.
It was just too expensive for my pockets when I first.
I didn't know how much the bars.
Well, I did, but like. I guess, like, my very first machine was, you know, a little coil set that came with a bunch of stuff, you know?
Right.
And it was, like, at max 200, 300 for two little machines. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay. And then when he was introducing the world of rotaries, I was like, oh, okay, this is different. And he told me it was, like, $600. And yeah. I was like, damn.
Back then, that's, right. like...
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, so like COVID hit right when we were supposed to go on Fake Skin. And you know, Georgia only shut down for like maybe a month.
2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah. Oh, so,
like 2 weeks. Like,
yeah.
Like,
and we were just like, what are we going to do, Tino? And he was just like, just keep tattooing. Like, right. keep coming back.
Yeah.
And so after like 2 weeks or so, when everybody was like really scared and stuff, we just like came back with a mask. And he let us borrow his machines to do Fake Skins. And, yeah, eventually, like, the first stimulus check hit, and I bought all of my stuff. Like, I bought a machine, I bought a power supply.
Yeah, that was good
timing. Yeah, I just, like, when am I ever going to get this much money, and I need to start up my career, you know? Right. So I, like, dropped basically my whole stimulus check on this machine.
Right.
Yeah. And
I remember
then,
I maxed out, like, two credit cards to get, like, my first, like, round of supplies and everything.
Right, exactly. They're so expensive. And yeah, my first machine, I still have it. It's an injector. I don't use it.
No, that's good. You got to hold on to that.
Yeah, it's precious to me.
Oh, yeah.
It holds memories. I did a lot of tattoos with it too. And yeah, after we did, Pablo came back and he had a Fake Skin ready and he did Biggie, a portrait of Biggie. And it was so good. And he was just like, all right, Mindy, if Pablo can do that, you can do that. And I was like, whoa, I thought I was going to be doing little hearts, you know, like little names.
We're all like, the comparison was all that was in better in your apprenticeship. So it's like once you got out of it, it was probably hard to get out of that mode.
Mm-hmm.
So you just said your first machine was an injector.
Oh, yeah.
But now I know that you've been kind of blessed into the world of coils now. Like, you got an interest and you picked that up. Shout out to Jose. You know, he one of the coil masters out here. Always kept our machines tuned right when he was here with us.
But, a month ago.
Right. So, like, as a newer generation tattooer who started rotaries, like, what made you want to learn coils?
Right. I guess, like, because I know the original traditional way was coils, that I wanted to, you know, learn it a little bit more. And I see how Demente does the tattoos and how amazing they turn out. So I was like, man, there's got to be some sort of correlations maybe. And I see, like, you know, Christian does it too. And he's always said, like, you need to do lining with coils.
Yeah, yeah.
And we did it with, you know, rotaries. We lined with injectors. And that is incredibly hard. And it does not heal the best. But yeah, there's like a beauty in all those type of machines. And yeah, the more that I see coils and how some other people use it as well, I really like it, you know, like I want to learn more about it and see. I think there's more like technicality of these different coil machines rather than like a manufactured rotary machine that all hits the same.
Exactly, yeah.
Each
one's kind of tuned specifically for a certain task.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And you can find, it just sucks that they're expensive still. Mm-hmm. And you got to find the one that fits you the best. But yeah, I think like.
Do you feel like all tattooers should learn how to use a coil?
I guess, like, my old traditional way, I just feel like if you don't really know how to use a coil, you're not a real tattoo artist. But I don't know if that's, you know.
I mean,
you was to have an apprentice, would you make them?
Yes.
Okay.
I personally would.
Good.
Yeah.
I personally feel the same, too.
Like, yes. I personally would make them start out and understand how hard this shit really was and then give them a rotary and see what they could do with it. But I do think it's, like, it's easy for anybody to pick up some little pen and start dragging it on some skin, you know?
Yeah.
First 7 months with straight coil.
Nice.
Yeah. To this day, you know, I said, we love outlining with coils. And, you know, it's like you said, it's a lot of things.
Forest,
like,
too.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wireless for a minute, but they done brought me back to the core game.
Yeah, man. Welcome back, bro.
Amen. Just in case any of these battery manufacturers are watching, y'all need to fix this shit.
Yeah, yeah, yep. Y'all slacking, man. These batteries dying out in like 30, 40 minutes
use,
now.
Yeah, I don't use batteries at all anymore.
They was okay at first, but now they just like ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's dope. I definitely, like you said, you know, no shade to like rotary only artists who don't know use coils. Like, yeah, you could do great tattoos still. Mm-hmm. But it's just like you said, it's something about just being a tattooer. It feels right. To you know, use a coil and know how to use it. Like, you don't have to use it for every tattoo, but you should at least have one coil machine in your collection and just know how to keep it in tune. Have a liner and a shader. It's aesthetic.
I agree.
Despite the controversy, or at least a Dan Cuban.
Yeah.
Right. Shout out to Dan Cuban, you know.
I'm 50-50 with them. I'm in the middle.
I respect it. I mean,
get it like a coil.
You know, some people don't want to buy it because, you know.
Rotor,
because of him.
Mm. That's the other topic for another day. But,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
y'all want to talk about it? Vote about it,
boy. you know that ain't ever gonna happen.
But so year five, if you tattooing, I think a lot of people will say like, what, the fifth year is kind of like an important year for your tattoo career, right? It's kind of like a major turning point is where they're like, what direction you're going to go in.
Veteran once told me in California, you can't suck no more.
Like, yeah. That's a good way to look at it. Like, year five, you should kind of know what you're doing at that point.
Yeah.
Like, so,
but, you know, it still feels like, I don't know what I'm doing. It's brand new.
That's good. You should feel both ways. Yeah. Like, you should feel like you don't know what you're doing, but at the same time, you do know what you're doing.
That's why you'll see me post every once in a while, like, oh my God, y'all, I just figured it out.
It's good. That's a great feeling. Yeah, when you get that new trick or a new tip, it's like,
like it's more like the opposite. You know what not to do.
How long?
Right. That's
shit, about to be 10 years next year.
Nice. I think the that's
OG,
a milestone, bro? Too.
Christian too. It'd be 10 years.
I don't throw
Christian
in
the book. Christian,
like Christian
the OG. Yeah.
30-year-old
Christian.
Shout out to Christian. 30.
He's 29.
Yeah, it's the last. But yeah. So like, what's like your goal? Or like, what do you want your career to like take place now from going forward?
I would say, I guess like style wise more. I feel like I'm still trying to figure out my style.
So, yeah, like what. Let's talk about that. Like, what are you kind of leaning now? Because you're a versatile artist. Like, but where do you see yourself kind of going or want to do?
I would like to do, like, pieces of stuff that I draw, but I obviously need to draw way more than that to be able to put those pieces out.
That's a hard part, too, right? Yeah. Talk about once you become a tattoo artist, it's like you don't get to draw for yourself as much anymore. Yeah,
like, barely, honestly, because you're either drawing for somebody else or, you know, a specific tattoo you have lined up, or you're just doing your own stuff on the days that you're off.
Right.
But style-wise, I would like to see, like, where I can go with it, learn more about design, and have, like, a specific, say, if I do black and gray realism, because I don't see myself stopping that, to at least have, like...
That's a moneymaker, man. Don't stop
that. Right. And that, but I would like to like draw more pieces and like have people do that type of stuff. But I don't really know. Like when I do draw, it's more like almost like new school where it's like a little different, a little crazy. Mm-hmm. But I also like old school traditional too. Like something about traditional tat, you know?
Right. No, it's fun to knock out a traditional tat and like that nice bold line, same line weight.
Right.
You know?
You're not there all day because black and gray is like, you're never going to finish.
Mm-hmm. And then would you ever dabble in like more, I know you kind of mess with it now, but like color realism, stuff like that?
I would like to. I do really like color pieces, but in the middle of me doing a color tattoo, it takes so long and I'm like, ugh, I want to give up.
Oh, yeah, like that. That back piece you're working on, that one lady, a bunch of flowers.
Yes.
Yeah, that looks really good.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. I like the balloon one. You got a balloon one I like really a lot.
Yeah, it's all in just like learning and getting the chance to be able to do it. You know, I feel like if I got more chances to do like a big piece, I would try to go more crazy, more intricate with it. But you know, even then, doing all these individual flowers, each one of them at least took me 5, 6, 7 hours.
Do you prefer like more large scale projects or do you like kind of more small to medium size?
I have a battle between that too, because though I love a large scale one, because that's obviously where you can get the money, and you know, when people dedicate that much of an arm to you, or leg, body part, it's just like, that's awesome, you know, like that you really like my stuff and trust me that much to do a piece that big. But then like the shorter sessions feel so much better on like your body, your hand, your life.
And I see you break stuff, your largest pieces in the sessions too.
Oh yeah, I always do sessions. I just take so long that you just have to do sessions with me. I've gotten a lot faster, but it still takes me a minute.
So how do your clients are pretty much cool? Like how do you like explain to them that like, hey, like I like to take my time. So it's going to take maybe more sessions than an average artist. Like, do you get a kind of pushback on that, or you feel like they kind of understand at this point?
I think it's 50-50. Some people don't obviously have the budget and the time to do that. And some people understand because it's a permanent piece on them that I typically like tell people a full day session could take anywhere from like 5 hours to 8 hours, basically. And, it could be basically this much. And, this could take me 2 to 3 sessions of 5 to 8 hours, and they'd be surprised. Sometimes they're shorter, sometimes they're longer, and yeah, they just like, gotta understand when I tell them like an estimate like that. Right. Yeah.
I got you, but for the most part, like the people who understand are like the people you want, you know. So
right,
I got
for you. Sure. Okay. And then the people who are like, oh no, that's way too long. I'll be like, okay, like that's okay.
Well, how do you balance your project tattoos like during like your whole career? Because I know you bump out some good pieces that you just say, here you go, on Instagram. I was like, oh, I didn't even know she was working on that.
Yeah, I try to post more when I can, but sometimes I forget. And yeah, I've just had the luxury, I guess, and privilege that people are willing to, you know, give a piece of me and be able to like do something. Like all the dragons that I've done so far, I wouldn't say all of them, but the bigger ones. The
blue one?
Yeah, like something like that. I drew those out for them personally. Okay. And, you know, I appreciate when someone gives me something like that. And something like that, I just told them, like, it's going to take some sessions because the lines itself probably took one full day and for a really long day. And they just keep coming back from it. And, you know, some people drive from out of state to get that. Like, that kid is all the way from Florida.
That's dope.
Yeah, to drive.
Definitely put on some sunscreen then, buddy.
Right. Yeah, but yeah, and I just knock them out pieces by pieces, and I try to post it when I can, of like project wise. And then I have another dragon that's on my stepdad, and he understands too. It takes sessions, and he just lets me do however many hours I can.
You got his first tattoo from you, or
yeah?
That's dope. Shout out to the family.
Oh yeah.
All right, so I'm going to start a pot a little bit, a little debate, just fun debate. But I know at your guys' shop, that kind of have like a rule, like you guys don't use CPL lenses. And I respect that 100%. Oh, yeah. Like, so if y'all don't know, you know, CPL lenses used, a lot of tattooers use it for to reduce the glare from a photo. But at the same time, it can be used in a way to abuse like photos and make give you kind of like a more unrealistic like outcome of the tattoo. Me personally, I use CPL lenses. I try my best not to abuse it, but I know like at the end, like there's no way to kind of get 100% accurate of real life what's going on. But so why do you guys like have that hard stance against CPL lenses?
Well, personally, over the years I've changed, but because I was taught by Tino, he's like, this is the real way. So what you're taught is like what you think.
No, shout out to Tino for like stealing that.
Yeah. And I respect it big time that he doesn't do any edits and any of this bullshit. Oh, sorry. I don't mean to say bullshit.
No. You're cussing all day on here.
But like, I didn't mean to say like CPL and stuff is bullshit, but just
I get,
yeah. Like,
it's a certain level. Yeah. Like, it's one thing to just like slap a CPL lens on, take a picture and post it. Then there's artists out there who
throw it edit. On
yeah. Right, and go like the whole extra.
It's a full-on edit.
Right,
yeah,
right.
It's a full-on edit.
I keep my blemishes and all that stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. To me, yeah, I guess, like, I've always just learned, like, to try to do it off the iPhone. I'm really not against it, especially, like, a CPL lens. I do think it does help with the glare and making the tattoo better, but as long as they're not editing it, I think it's straight.
Yeah,
like,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but why it's such a hard thing over there, I guess because, like, we were when Rotaries were coming out, we were seeing a lot of people who would edit it, and whether it's edited to make it look like an aesthetic, it's a false, you know, like the tattoo don't really look like that. Mm-hmm. And some people will edit it so much to where there's no redness, and people think, And some clients, when they see when I'm tattooing them, and they're like, "Oh, is that blood?" I'm like, "Yeah, like
you're supposed to bleed."
This is inside of you.
I stabbed you for like 7 hours.
Right, but they don't see that real side on Instagram, whatever, because they just see super clear white, you know, photos that are super high contrast and has no glare. But that's really the only reason why is because they're.
So do y'all have a certain section in y'all?
We do not.
How do you kind of time it? Like,
so it just depends for me because it depends on what I'm taking a photo of. When it is a fresh tattoo, sometimes I just tell them come in my station to where like the light isn't, because we have these bright, bright lights too on the top, and there's you can't just turn it off and be like, wait, y'all, I'm gonna take a photo. So I just be telling them to come in my station.
You'll say I'll turn it off.
I get it though. And I just take it to where I feel like there isn't a lot of glare.
Okay.
And sometimes we take it just where like we have these closing doors and it's like less glare there too, and that's where we take our pictures.
Now I know some of y'all, I think Pablo takes his outside a lot.
Yes. So basically when we go back outside, the building's white. And sometimes when, like, the sun sets and it's not, like, super, super bright outside and you see it against that wall, it looks really nice.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so we do outside, too. It just depends. But most of our tattoos are not done during the daytime. So it's hard to catch outside.
Okay.
No, respect that. 100%. Yeah, because, I don't know, like I said, you know if you're abusing, like, your photos and editing and stuff. Like, stop that shit, man. It's not.
I feel like the CPL lenses is a lot worse on, like, the phones, though, versus, like, the cameras. Since we've, at least in my opinion, since we've been using the cameras, it ain't been, like, the CPL lens help, but it's not, like, really changing much of the photo.
It doesn't, like, I think the main thing with the cameras, like, especially iPhones, like, it changes the skin tone of the person too much.
Like, but with, like, the cameras over here, because, whether you know it or not, these have CPL lenses on them, but it doesn't do that. You still get the redness. It just quite literally only takes away the glare.
The glare, and that's what I've learned about it, too. That's why I say I'm not really against it, because, like, just because I don't own it on my camera and stuff like
think
that.
Think you ever convince Tino? You see CPL lens?
He's learning, actually. Like, even though he is a very traditional mindset, he's learning.
Shout
to like, do different ways. And he's actually invested in a camera as well. Yeah, I'm sure you all see
Him. Yeah, I see he's working on the seminar stuff.
Yeah, and it's, like, super nice camera. I don't know about the CPL lens. I think he'll get there, but he at least knew to invest in a really good camera and invest in a good lens. Because sometimes, you know, some people would try to get, like, a cheaper way out. Not cheaper way, but
the lens is just as important as a camera. People don't realize that. But we've all pretty much, like, me, Tez, Christian, I'll use and Julius too, I'll use cameras now. I'm trying to get Bryson on that wave.
What do you
need? He got cameras though.
An iPhone?
He does, I got, like, why don't you just bring it to the shop?
The laser.
You just take it on your phone? Same.
But definitely that's like for any artist out there, like if you got the money to invest, like
I'll probably buy another camera.
Yeah, you can get you the one.
Yeah, on Sony though.
Don't you have a Sony?
I'm team Canon, man. I love Canon cameras.
I swear your Sony is like the same model as mine.
What? 5800?
Oh, okay. Well, mine's a generation after then.
Yeah.
Nah, that thing's like, I got that in 2016.
Yeah, you probably don't have like 4K recording of yours.
2018.
You had it for a minute.
Do the videos here.
But yeah, but definitely get that camera. So, all right, this is a question I wanted to ask you too. Now that you're a part shop owner, and how has things changed? Like, how do you view tattooing now as an owner as opposed to just being just a tattoo artist?
Well, there's a lot more responsibilities of just being a tattoo artist that comes in, does their stuff, gets out, you know. There's more like responsibility of like pride in the shop of, you know, this is what you put out in the world. This is what people know you as. And yeah, I take a lot of pride into it, and I just make sure like everything's really, really good. And you just feel like you have less time, like, right. of the day, basically, because of all the other things you got to handle. Well, I mean, I personally like it because I have the privilege to tell people what to do.
So how do you like managing other artists as far as like making sure everybody's in harmony and
sometimes together? It's a headache because we have a lot of people. But
for eight?
I would say for the main full-time artists, it's me, Pablo Demente, and Tino.
Okay.
And then we also have, I call them part-time artists, but they are at the shop a lot.
Okay.
But they also just either have like a second job or something like that. But we have Chris, Steven, Jessica, Taj, Alan, the main ones. So that's that's, you know, that much. And then we have like a few more apprentices.
So that's like 10, 12 people.
Yeah, basically. But they're not always there all the time. Yeah. Like the part-time artists, they kind of like share a booth. Because like they'll be there maybe 2 to 3 days out the week.
Okay. Y'all kind of got a schedule rotation system.
Basically, for smart. When people come in.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, so taking care of them wise, like you just got to make sure like when they do bad tats, tell them, you know, but because there's so many of them, you just have to like try to.
How is that now? Like being the person to have to tell them, like, I need you to do better, or this is what we could have changed.
Right. I never used to do that because I would just leave it to Tino because originally I felt like it was like Tino and his apprentices because these are the people he calls in and teaches. Because I feel like I don't really teach them like that. Mm-hmm. They do learn from me and they ask from me and such, but I don't really like sit down with them and tell them to do this.
Right. You're not like their mentor.
I would say it's mainly Tino. So Tino would tell them like, hey, you should have done this, or this is bad, or this is good, you know. But now like we kind of share the role of it, and I mean, we just tell them. Some of them take it a little bit more personal, some of them don't, you know. But for the most part, they know it's for a good reason that we're telling you. And we just tell them like, don't take it to heart that much, just know like, you know, just use this information and try to do a little bit better.
If you want your team to be, you know, successful and on safe age, you got to say the hard stuff sometimes.
Right. And, I mean, they think it's so easy for us, but I'm like, it's hard. Like, we're just, you know, still doing it too. you just got to take the time.
Tell them to go listen to this interview and then see about your apprenticeship process. Like, damn. And, like, I didn't even have to juggle. Like, that's crazy.
Right.
That's what I heard. What? 3 years in my career, the nervousness never go away. Like it never leave.
I mean, when you say nervousness, what do you mean? Like
when you're working on a tattoo that's kind of like outside your comfort zone.
I mean, outside your comfort zone, but if it's in your comfort zone, then like
you're like ready to go.
Because it's like all right.
I see you some people are only in their comfort zone, and
right. I'm always make me out my every dolly cover up.
Wow, that's good. So you like to work outside your comfort zone a lot?
Yeah, I think that's why I also do coils. I just be like, let me make it hard. let me see what I can do.
That's how you grow as an artist, though. I see in your work. So
yeah, that's why I say being competitive is good, because I like a little challenge. I like to see what you can create, you know, with said stuff. You know, just like how painting is, every different paint brand is different. Just because it's acrylic, you know, and so you can try and see what works with you.
Right.
Yeah.
No, 100%. I had to get your opinion on this. And so what do you feel like? Are you nervous or, I guess, worried about where the tattoo industry is going? Because, you know, it's a lot going on, right? Like, of course, economy is crazy. I mean, let's call it for it. It's like tattooing is a bit oversaturated with artists. But at the same time, like, you can still thrive. But it's murky for some people as well, too. Then you got AI and that whole, you know, discussion. So it's like, what do you...
That's a good question. Yeah. How do you, like, if you get a client, and especially since there is a bunch of AI images out there, how do you tell your client that, I get where you're trying to go, but this tattoo that you want is AI and it's not going to look nothing like this.
Right.
And, like, actually trying to convince them. Because I know I done came across a couple of them. It's like, all right. So this tattoo right here, this one's real. But this one right here, this is not. Right. How can you tell this not real? So then you got to go down this whole little spiel. Yeah. How do you deal with that?
I guess I haven't gone through a lot of those pieces like that. They'll send me something that looks AI, but I just tell them, well, I'm going to use that as a reference and base it off of like my own creation. Sorry.
No, you good.
My own creation. My own creation of the design. And they'll be like, okay, cool. And that's gonna be it.
But yeah, nah, that, those AI-generated tattoos, like, taking over Pinterest now is just insane. Because it's like I said, it's like, so unrealistic and super high detail, packed with white. Like, then no irritation in the skin. And, like, and it's hard to explain to people, like, this isn't real. Because, like, they don't know.
This is a lady that hit me up yesterday.
This is AI?
Well, the second one is. So this one's AI.
Okay, yes, I can tell.
Now this one, you probably follow this artist too. He's like in Texas or somewhere. So I was telling him, like, all right, you see how this flower right here is? Like, you see it's like some parts are like real solid and then you got the galaxy part. It's like, yeah, you can do that. But she was thinking, and she's a dark-skinned lady, was thinking she could get something like this. It's like, I see where you're going, but I had a whole like 30-minute discussion. It's like, okay, that's not going to look like that tattoo.
Make sure you got the mic.
Right. Sorry.
No, we all been... you good.
Yeah, with that...
See, I used to look at that like a person editing their tattoos or Photoshop. So when I look at AI, it's like just something new, like a new tool. That was...
No, I guess I'm more just like, how are you... Especially when they're like, gung-ho about it. You didn't have the clients like, oh, I want this image exactly.
Like, yeah.
I mean, trying to like tell this person that really believes this tattoo is real.
I just tell them like to make it look like a good tattoo and to make it heal like a good tattoo, it's not going to 100% look like that. And, you know, you can try to get it to look as best as you can to that, but I just tell them like all this. And sometimes, you know, someone will get an image and think it's going to look exactly like this photo or something, but it's like, really, it's not going to heal good as a tattoo or something like that. And you just got to tell them straight.
Yep.
But with your question of like, where do I think it's headed? Kind of rough. Because like you said, it is very saturated with a bunch of different artists. My shop alone got a lot of artists. And I see like not everybody... You know, like some people are okay with tattooing full time, and not everybody is because of how it is.
I feel like it's going to be a lot more part timers in the future.
Right. And I think it's going to weave out a lot of people, though.
It really is.
Yeah. Like, who think, because it's like almost like COVID babies. I feel like a lot of tattoo artists started during COVID and they think they can tattoo.
Wait, didn't we start during COVID?
Yeah,
we did. COVID babies. Yeah. I never thought of that.
Basically, when COVID hit your apprenticeship.
Yeah. Nah, it's real.
Yeah. And I mean, I say that as a blessing too, because I had the luxury to have all that time in the world to learn this.
Versus the world was in, and we was like, I want to be a tattoo.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, I just pray. I just hope it gets better, you know, of like weaving out the people who are taking money.
So do you think that's like the best route, like survival of the fittest, like the artist who, the best way to get the industry back to where it needs to be is to get rid of the artists who can't make it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, also look at, we can't look at their highlights too, how they post on, like a great example, Private Studios, like they're just working on Pinterest designs and stuff like that. Shoot, their rent, they might be breaking even every week versus actually making a profit.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, well, and yeah, it's.
So now you just really just like, doing.
It sucks because, how do you feel? There are definitely artists who you'll say, like, aren't up to snuff, right? And I don't really care about them, like, so, but there are some great artists who are also struggling, too, like, who, like, deserve to be, I would say, tattooers, but for whatever reason, maybe they're in the wrong location, or they just don't promote themselves well or something, you know?
I would say promote. I give Christian a great example.
Do you
Christian
feel like
a great example? He didn't promote himself well. Once he started promoting himself well, phone be ringing.
But what is promoting yourself well?
Some people just sit down and twiddle their thumb. Most talented artists in the world, and they'd be like, "Why ain't nobody coming to me?" Sometimes you gotta advertise yourself and go to them.
So what do you feel like? I got some ways, but what do you feel like the best way to?
Oh shoot, like we did pass out flyers sometimes and. Like,
old school, word foot, mouth.
Boots hit the ground. Raise up your advertisement. Don't, if you can go out to eat at a restaurant, use that money for that.
Right.
Customer service, word of mouth, but no, definitely promote yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would throw into like, I know it's tough because like it's hard like to say spend money that you may not have, but yeah. Like if you do have it, like
go to them events, tell people you're an artist or something.
That too, but I'll say
Dutch does that.
Put it into like boosting posts. I know we hate boosting posts because Instagram like screwed the algorithm.
Yeah, they did.
They're greedy, but literally like the only way I see like. That I get new followers for the most part is from like my boosted posts. Because like now they tell you like, oh, this person follows you from your ad. Mm-hmm. And I go down the list like maybe the last 100 followers, probably 75 of them have been just from a boosted ad.
I'll give you a good example. Yeah. Like MomoCon, we was passing out flyers over there. We probably passed out 200 to 300. We got 5 of them. Yeah. Those 5 got friends. And right. Based off those 5 people, we probably got 25 clients to come in.
No. Like I said, it word
of mouth. I do pay attention to the analytics.
Definitely like old school passing out flyers, cards.
And we get free sandwiches.
You know, giving out deals if you need to. But yeah, you gotta do whatever you gotta do to bring people in your like I think okay, now that's a good question. Since you're a shop owner too, like how much is it on the shop to bring clients to their artists, and how much is it on the artist too? Like, do you feel like it's a 50-50 thing, or is it more like what is the shop's responsibility? What's the artist's responsibility?
Depends on variables.
Yeah, it depends on what type of shop you want to be. You know,
let's say it's a walk-in shop. Like,
I think it's 100%. Ooh, not maybe 100.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything's 100%. Yeah.
Maybe not 100, but at least a good 70% on the artist to get your own person, and maybe 30 to get. You can only do so much as a shop to tell people to come get tatted, you know? And especially coming from a shop like mine with a lot of people, you can only like get so many people to come in and get so many people to get tatted.
Right. Because it's like, I think what people or artists don't understand if they aren't a shop owner sometimes is there are certain things a shop should do, right? Definitely promote their artists. I would say like if you don't already have a website and Google listing, like that's like essential in my opinion.
Right.
And then if the shop owner, hopefully if they're financially successful enough, like they can invest in like doing Google ads, Instagram ads, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But and then running some sort of social media, like, I get, like, it's hard doing all that, like, and, like, tattooing. But, like, if you're doing it somewhat, then that should help. But at the same time, like, it only helps to a certain extent because it'll get eyes on your shop, right? But then you can't force clients to choose, like, hey, go to Bryson or go to Tez, go to Mindy. Like, now they see the shop and then they'll look, okay, like, I want to go to this artist or I'll go to this artist. And then like, it's tough. Cause like that artist might be the most popular artist. And then you got an artist who's like not as popular.
Right.
And
it's capable of doing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, if that's the case, the thing that helps us here then is even Theo will say it, like, he'll say, hey, I think you need to post this so people can know you're capable of doing it. So, my go-to is, take a photo of all your tattoos, no matter how small, dainty, Pinterest, cyber sigilism, it is.
Cyber sigilism.
Whatever. But because how I promote myself is somebody walks in, I show them my page, which is known for color and anime. So I say, this is what I'm known for, but I also take photos of all my walk-ins. And this is anything that comes through the door. And what they see is, they see today, Sunday, Saturday, Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday. Oh, he's consistent and he's very versatile. So, because it's very hard to prove this artist can do it if you don't have the receipt.
Right.
Because I'm one of those people, they always doubt me a lot. So, I have to show them my receipt.
Yeah.
So I already have it ready.
I mean, yeah, that's another thing too. Like, sometimes, like, you know, whether it's like bias, prejudice, whatever, like, you're going to get doubted. So it's like, it sucks, but sometimes you just got to prove it. With your work, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, even though, because clients don't understand that, like, okay, if I could do like a realistic lion, then I should be able to do a realistic tiger. But like, they only see a lion on your page, so I didn't see no tiger, so I didn't come to you for a tiger.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, I do tigers, I just didn't post it. So now that's what I said, like, you got to have that on the tuck. Like, that's why I do a million lion tattoos, like, and I post every one of them, yeah, because I want people to constantly remember that I do lion tattoos, because, like, that's another thing. Clients don't scroll, like, some clients scroll all the way through your portfolio.
Be your top 9.
Yeah, but, like, most of the time, they're only going to go through, like, the first, like 9, 12, if you're lucky, something like that. So I always try to keep a nice little variety of stuff just because, like, people need to remember, you know, like, yeah, I might do this huge-ass, like, back piece, Japanese, whatever, but, yeah, I'm still down to bust out a line and, like, let's do it. Let's run it. A rose, whatever.
What I actually do...
I was going to say, I also say, especially on the Instagram thing, mix it up with the videos and the pictures. Cause I don't witness, like, many a times my clients are, like, looking at artists' pages and stuff. And if it's a video, like, they'll click on it to see it. But if it's a video, they'll immediately click off.
Oh, yeah. I don't like
videos either. So they can see the picture.
Especially, like, if it's a video where they're, like, it turns to, like, I'm going to put my stencil on. Then yeah. I'm going to do this and that.
Just,
and then,
just show it.
Yeah, not like
just show it.
That shit's dead. Like, so, that shit was cool for a second, but not anymore.
I didn't think about this until last year, but I actually thought, oh, that was strategic of me. So when I tattoo somebody, I get their Instagram and I tag them in. So what that does when they repost it on their page, their audience see it. Even if it's like 40 or 50.
That's a new word of mouth now, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, so they say, oh, who is this guy?
Right.
So that's something I always do. That's why you always see me tag everybody.
So like all of these little things add up, and these are the little things that artists can do, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, artists, I feel like some artists just like, oh, if I'm at a shop and I'm giving a percentage to the shop, whatever, like, then they need to be bringing me all these clients. Like, yeah, they should definitely be helping you try to bring clients, but you can't expect the shop to just like provide, like, you know, like a client for you every day. Like, you gotta do something too, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, I appreciate all the stuff that y'all say too about getting advertisement because, you know, even though I might hear about it, you know, some other people don't know about it. Same thing as clicking the videos. And I've seen that for myself, too, of, like, you know, doing this long-ass video or what you think is cool or what you think is the trend of what everybody else is doing is, like, stencil and this, get yourself in the video. But people just want to see the, you know, the video for real, you know.
Exactly.
And they'll try to either scroll all the way at the end or just, like, you know, get off of it.
Right. No, I'm getting off. Like, if I click on it, and I'm like, no, same. I'm not doing all that.
You got about
even when
full
it's
second.
A great tattoo.
Not even that. Like, in the moment, like, I literally, like, only way you get me to stay is, like, I know this artist is, like, amazing, and I just need to see this tattoo because I need to see what they did. But so
also,
like,
I see, I also look on my Instagram. People only look at my videos 7 to 9 seconds.
Right.
Yeah. So I just,
shit, I don't even get that. My algorithms say they look at this shit 3 to 4 seconds.
Right.
Like, oh, I believe just post the pictures and call it a day.
Yeah. But you know, when someone like Victoria Lee starts posting something like that, it's like, damn, I gotta watch all this.
Right. It's like, I get it. Like, her setup is immaculate, but it's like, I just want to see the tattoo.
Yeah.
But I'll watch her video just so I can see the tattoo at the end.
Right.
But like, that's Victoria Lee.
I think that's more of us. Like that's the peer.
We're just looking
as a regular person.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just average Joe people. They just, I want to see a tattoo. That's it.
Right.
I don't care about the phone. I don't care about that.
Right. But going back to what you were saying of, like, how much percentage, I mean, I feel like some of the people at my shop will be like, oh, yeah, well, Tino told me he would get me a client. And I'm like, listen, never depend on anybody else to get you a client, like, at all. You are on your own. Like, well, you're not 100% on your own. You're blessed to be a part of a great team. But you got to do all that work yourself for real. Like, nothing's going to be given to
like,
you.
Like, yeah, ideally, like, a team will help feed each other. But it's like when the opportunity presents itself. It's not like every day, like, yeah, I got an extra client you could have. Like, it's more like, oh, we're all busy. You're not. I got this person who needs something today.
Right.
I can help you today, but I can help you tomorrow. You know,
with my apprenticeship, I came from 0 walk-ins and zero.
So that taught you how to hustle, like, to get the clientele.
Yeah, like, so I guess when they tell me stuff like that, I'd be like, yeah, go outside and go ask somebody to
Right.
tell
you. Right.
Like, at least you have that, because we were not able to promote at all about, you know, us being right there to tattoo. So it's definitely very different with that. And I just think, like, I try as much as I can to get them clients.
But they got to put the effort in, too.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. For sure.
Yeah, and we all do it as a collective team now. Like, you know, we have a little sign, and we put it outside, make sure if someone who is available for walk-ins, at least put the sign outside so someone can see it. And we try to do other things here and there, too, of, like, trying to post more on the Instagram and stuff like that. But we're still trying to get our foot
So the question is how new are the artists that are just now starting off?
Well, they all vary in how long they've been doing the apprenticeship.
Okay. So what, 6 months to a year?
Yeah, okay. I guess say for one, like I would say Taj, which is somebody who's on the newer end.
Okay.
Maybe a year and a half or two now.
So one thing I can say in the past that you and Pablo did that I actually like, that y'all pretty much tattooed on each other, but y'all definitely pushed it to a portfolio piece when y'all did it. So I guess for anybody new, do y'all promote, tell them, hey, get a, I'd rather for them to have a promotional piece, like a portfolio, I mean, portfolio piece versus just trying to say, look, I just need to do this banger real quick.
Right. Yes, I always say if you're going to do a free tat, make it worth it. Okay. Not just like a little, you know, dainty.
Tattooing my homie who wants his bullshit.
You know right, I mean? Right. Try to get somebody who's worth it. Like, I do free tattoos too to show people what I want to do.
Definitely do like 3 to 4 times a year. And I'm
like one piece a lot of people like from mine is like the Mother Nature.
Okay.
I think a Mother Nature sheet. And that was free. And it took me like 3 sessions. But it's like something I was able to take my time on and something I wanted to do. And, you know, they'd be like, what? You just worked all that for free? And I'm like, yeah. Like, I like it personally. Like,
I think people need to really hear that. Like, even in, I mean, if this you, many years in.
If you like tattooing, why is it like doing a free tattoo like a foreign concept to you?
Let me clarify. Meet your quota. Meet your quota.
Yeah. Right.
If you're going to say this, like, me being almost 10 years in, I at least do like minimum like 4 free tattoos a year.
Nice. Yeah,
that's minimum.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Same. I try to get my handful too of just doing free tats. But yeah, I just tell the other people like y'all gotta promote yourself and like you know, do a really good tattoo on somebody. Mm-hmm. So then, because that's what gets most of my clients is doing a really good tat, and then they're out there, and then they're like, oh, I know you from so and so. Yeah, that's awesome.
No, exactly.
Yeah, so that's one of the things. That's another form of advertisement. Because, oh, trust me, y'all used to do the little wheel about the free and stuff like that. Like, what was it? It was like small, third place.
Yeah. Well, sorry. Going back to what you said about tattooing each other, too, it's like, yeah, I actually, like the Mac Miller piece I have, Pablo won a lot of awards off of it.
Yeah.
And for him to be able to show people that he's won a lot of awards off of it shows, brings him so many more clients in, you know? Right. And same for, you know, vice versa. If I get to do all these pieces on all these people.
Yeah, the raccoon, like small, black and gray. Mm-hmm. And I think 2 years ago, you got something else.
Yeah, I try to enter a piece for the awards every now and then, but that's only if I can have something lined up. Sometimes clients aren't able to make it, you know.
Yeah.
But it does bring you a lot of stuff because people come to my page and it'll be like a brand new person I never tattooed, and they're like, "Yeah, and you want some awards?" And it's like awards I forgot about, you know. And I'm
awards,
like, yeah.
Like they mean something to clients, you know.
They
like,
do.
It's I understand like it's a hot debate, like oh, like. Like, wars don't, I mean, yeah, wars don't mean nothing amongst, like, tattoo artists, but, like, they definitely help sell yourself to a client.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, the speaking of, like, that lion tattoo I did earlier this week, he said what sold me as an artist to him was just the wars. Like, he went on Google, yada, 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 saw the website and saw the wars and was like, okay, I'm going to choose this guy.
Right.
So, it's one of those things, it's, like, doing those free pieces that, or like portfolio level pieces where you can enter in contests.
The stuff,
and stuff
you
like
do
that.
At conventions go crazy, man.
I'm trying, man.
Really nice.
But,
and yeah, it's like what you said. It's like you're gonna end up having to sell yourself and prove to people that you are worth, you know, getting a tattoo from. And
that's another way to promote yourself too, like as an artist. So it all goes full circle. It's like, be like artists don't want to. I know a lot of artists who like get in their heads and like, oh, I don't want to do this contest because like I don't care about that. Like I respect that, I do, I get it. But if you're like you're struggling, you don't have clientele, like maybe you should, you know what I'm saying?
Please just fall down, swing.
Yeah, just fall down, throw it, you know, because it's like it's one of those things like you can't beggars can't be choosers, right? So
yeah,
so. Trust me, I got a losing record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're gonna, yeah, so.
Yeah, you gotta prove to people. And I feel like that's what a huge chunk of like a generation of tattooing is missing is like proving yourself to somebody.
Right.
Because like all the greatest people.
Oh, that's a great point.
Yeah, they don't want to prove themselves. They just want the money, they just want the clientele. But it's like, what have you done to
And it's like, if you kind of like push against that now, it's like, how is it like, well, it's going to sound whatever, fucking, but it's like, you know, like a lot of younger people now are kind of like, you can't be too real with them because it's like, it's, they want to cancel you or say like, oh, you're insensitive or this and that. Like, no, it's just like, you got to have that dog in you. Like you said, sometimes like this in our industry, it is competitive. So it's like, and it's, you see it now with like some artists are thriving and some are not. So it's like,
Yeah.
So it's like you, if you don't got that dog in you, you don't got nothing to prove. Like, it's one of those things like you probably not gonna make it. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, so it's like you got to have something like that's pushing you and driving you, in my opinion at least. But yeah, so that's a great like discussion overall. Like talking about where the industry's going. And then we just kind of went to whole but off tangents, so which was dope. But yeah, like, do you have any like words or messages or anything you want to say? Like, cause we covered a lot, so
yeah. Well, with just proving yourself too, adding on to that, I feel like I said, I came from something that was not a walk-in tattoo, mm-hmm. so nothing was ever given to me. And any person that either Pablo or Tino had clientele wise, and if they were interested in getting tattooed by me just to support or whatever, they were always like telling me, I gotta make sure like this is a good ass tat, you know, this is a paying client, you know.
Right.
And so some of the people that would be one of my first clients have been tattooed by like JP Alfonso and Tino.
That's a lot of pressure right there.
Yeah, and I'm like, man, like,
yeah,
you're expecting me to pull out something that great or something like that. I mean,
that's where that nervous kicks in. That's what I was saying earlier. It's like,
but look how it forged y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, now, like, you feel like you become like a tougher, like mm-hmm. mentally tougher artist, and you know, one that is able to survive like throughout the turmoil. You know,
right. And people think because like I get these big tats that it was just easy for me because I've only done it for 5 years, but like I really work hard to get those clientele and that to get that person to come back as well. Like I don't just do that tat and get them out of here. Like I try to make them be very proud that this tattoo is on them and you know, to make sure that it's their favorite on their body or something like that. And yeah, I think that's very hard to do whenever it's easier when somebody has zero tattoos, knows nothing about tattoos. So you can slap anything on them and mm-hmm. they're going to say it's great.
Right.
But to really like prove yourself to somebody to keep coming back to me, you know, like that's very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And especially coming up with like how I came up with this, like Pablo super good, Tino super good. Like, why would you choose Mindy?
Right.
And same thing as like, because I'm like a small little Asian girl, a lot of guys that come into the shop looking for a tat, they don't believe that I can do it.
So you know? Did you feel like what challenges did you have because of that, like extra challenges?
You know, like people at first weren't really trusting me with bigger tattoos, even
I thought you did like small dainty stuff mm-hmm, or something like that.
Just cause like I'm a girl and I get that because a lot of females out there, like a lot of girls out there do smaller tattoos and floral stuff, things they like to do, but I personally was like trying to do something crazy,
right
and
I'm gonna do different shit,
right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know, the people that I respected, say again, Victoria Lee, that's like little Asian girl too, that's also doing some crazy stuff there.
It works crazy.
So I like that, you know, people don't see her in a different way, they just know she does badass tats, and I want it to be known like something like that. I don't want y'all just think I can only do little stuff. And you know, when people walk in and they ask and I talk to them about tattoo, they're like, oh, you gonna be doing the tattoo? And I'm like, if you want me to. And I'll show them, you know, these are the books, this is this, this and this, and this is my book. And then they'll start, you know, like, oh, okay, she could actually do that, you know. And they can see that I do everything. So you know, I do try to prove to myself, to these people, that, you know, you can get tattooed by me. I can literally do anything you ask for, you know.
That's a thing that's the thing people never really talk about. It's like when clients come in, they kind of do the ranking system of artists. Mm-hmm. So they'd be like, oh, you're going to do a lion, you're going to do a skateboard, but you're going to get a name. And it's like, mm-hmm. you got to break that mold and let them know, like, hey, yo, I'm actually better than this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you want to be that guy,
yeah, because you can. Every first fresh artist always goes through that.
Yeah,
it's like you really, all right, bro.
No, it's definitely true. You can't let that get to you. You gotta use that, like you said, as like ammunition, as fuel. Mm-hmm.
And like many say, people do stereotype.
Yeah. I'm sure. Especially when you don't fit the role of looking like, you know, see, like, you ain't got no tats showing like that. Well, you have one on your neck. But, you know, people see you with no tats and they're like, what, you do tats or something like that?
I've been lucky.
Yeah, and when you don't look like you got piercings and tats all over you, they definitely stereotype like, oh, I don't trust. Or especially when it's like cold out and I don't have anything showing, they're like, oh, you don't have any tats? You sure you could do this? And I'm like,
okay. Yeah. No, you like said being a woman, and then you said like smaller Asian, they probably thinking like,
yeah,
like you gotta go through a lot of extra bullshit. Like you said, same thing. Like Tez gotta go through clients questioning like, oh, you do this and that. It's like, bro, like, his work is right here. His war is right here. Like, what you mean? You know what I'm saying? So,
is he black?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you don't expect that.
But also, it's too, it's like him being darker skinned, too. Like, that's a extra thing on top of, like, I don't know, me. If you put me next to Tez, they going to be like, well, I'm going to go to Theo first. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's all stereotypes.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
I definitely believe that. And I mean, I really do like how, like, you know, black community team up with each other and, you know, support each other to
get more people. Sometimes. Oh, it's work. We working on it.
Sometimes it's a crab in a bucket.
Yeah.
We just be chilling, too. I'd be like, why are you putting me into this?
I get what you mean. As far as, like, it's a more vocal thing as far as, like, because I guess in, like, the Asian tattoo community, you don't really
hear that.
Yeah, because it's not, I guess it's not, like, in America, at least it's not, it's so separated, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, whereas, if you go to, like, you know, Thailand or Japan or China, like,
maybe it's all, deeper.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's just, like, normal, more normal out there, I guess you would say.
Yeah, but, it's like most of them.
Yeah.
But when you're out here, I guess, like, because I grew up only being the only Asian person I knew tattooing for a while until I saw
especially
people.
Especially in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, for sure. And all the shops down there, there were only white people, you know. So I never even saw, like, a black person tattooing. Mm-hmm. So I was like, it's going to be hard down here.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like that move. Mm-hmm. But no, they're definitely great, great discussions, great convo.
Grateful to be here.
Yeah, no, thank you for your time. Like I said, if y'all don't remember, Mini Sue versus the World, give her a follow on Instagram. Check out the YouTube channels.
Oh, yeah.
If y'all in Douglasville, go check out the shop, One Love Tattoo.
Dang, you went from juggling, now you're on a podcast.
Right. Yeah.
Full circle.
I'm blessed. I'm beyond blessed
definitely,
to be here.
Definitely.
It's awesome. But, thank y'all.
Nah, thank you, man. Peace, man. We out.
We out.